So in a minute, Alice is going to come and come and speak. But let's just have a few moments just being still. There are many occasions in the Bible where I think the Lord has kind of said to people, quieten down. And people draw away. Jesus drew away to be quiet, to hear. And God spoke to, remember, Elijah, and it was in the quietness. So we got an opportunity just now, just to be quiet. Maybe it might be helpful if you put our hands on our heart. Maybe one hand on our heart, one hand on our kind of where we'd say our mind was. Let's pray. Father, we give you our hearts this morning and all that is within. And we bring to you the scenario we're in, whatever that might be. Come and touch our hearts this morning, Lord. And we give you our minds and all that is within them. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, may we be transformed by the renewal of our mind today. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to introduce Alice. Chris and Alice are the lead pastors here in this church. And Alice is going to come and teach today. And Alice is a mother of three. At the moment. I'm just saying that is the situation at the moment. So, Father, thank you for Alice. And we bless her three in their groups this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of teaching that you've given to Alice. And so would you use her to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think now I've got the microphone, I can just come back and share the details of our contraception, which is... Chris has had the snip, and don't anyone tell me any stats about, it's about 1 in 3,000, okay? Unless we move down fostering or adoption, I know, but anyway. Whew, breathe, breathe, breathe. it's really, really common in Europe and works really well. Really recommend it. It was his choice, obviously. It was nothing to do with me. Anyway, actually, I'll just tell you a really small thing about that. He got a little infection, and I didn't take it seriously. Because it's male pain, I didn't really take it seriously. So when he was hobbling and stuff, I wasn't really very sympathetic. Anyway, it's fine normally, though, for everyone. It's normally an absolutely fine procedure and it works. There you go. It didn't work. Oh, gosh. Anyway, okay, right. If anyone blames me, don't blame him, because he was the one that started that. Anyway, we're all talking today about how we move in joyful, celebratory agreement with each other into the purposes of God. What is quite funny about Chris and I, in a number of different ways, is we are very different, completely different in some ways we think. So so we're totally like singing off the same song sheet in what we want in life, and we're fully in agreement that we want to see engage with fullness of life for ourselves as much as possible in Jesus, and also to see everyone we connect with come fully alive. But the way we approach things, in some ways, couldn't be more opposite. Chris and Claire Walker here today. Yes, they are. So Chris and Claire are a brilliant example of a lovely family, and my approach to them in my head would be like, oh, I wonder how they're doing. It'd be nice to hang out with them. They're a lovely family. Chris's approach is he spotted Sonos in their living room. Does anyone know what Sonos is? I don't really know what it is. We've had it for a while. And his, when he thinks of them, he thinks, how can I walk past their flat and through an app on his phone do a booming voice of God into their flat to say, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want, and other such comforting phrases. So they think they might have heard the audible voice of God. So we're just different. I still don't really... I'm like you, Catherine. I don't have any idea what that's about. You're looking at me blankly. I'm like, yeah. I was like, but how are they? How are they doing? And he's like, I managed to connect with their Sonos and they heard a voice and they don't know it's me. Apart from the therapy required for the children in the room who heard a booming voice. I'm like, oh, gosh. And it's related with, like, Christianity because it was like a Bible verse. It's not good for kids, that kind of... Anyway, hopefully we can recover that. yeah. So if you have Sonos in your house, he might just do things like go upstairs and do a loo flush. That's quite funny. The boys love it when we hear a loo flush downstairs out of nowhere. Anyway, that kind of thing. I still don't really know what he's talking about, to the extent I said, Chris, I still don't really know what Sonos is and how it works, and I couldn't even do it. And he's like, no, you couldn't, because you haven't got the app on your phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. I knew that. Not. Anyway, the point is, we're talking about agreement today. And what is so powerful about agreement is when completely different minds come together in agreement, there is this design principle of incredible favor, fruitfulness, and productivity on that. And actually, you'll see it's a design principle anywhere, even if people aren't connected with God. When people come into agreement, nothing is impossible for them. And what we're looking at today is coming into agreement in Jesus. We'll be connecting in with the David series. He had this mindset and moved in this mindset. And then other people through scripture. So it's going to be like a circular thing of lots of different examples and images, and hopefully we'll come into land on the sweet spot that I want us to move into. So all of our vision is to build a really strong body here that loves, that speaks words of life and encouragement, that builds one another's up, never uses a negative word about anyone behind their back. If there's any need for challenge or confrontation, it's done to the person with love in the aim of coming to agreement. And just a really sharp awareness of what the enemy's scheme is, that he just, if the design principle's agreement, his scheme, and it's his number one scheme, and we'll be looking at that a bit later, exposing that, it's always just to come in and just bring disagreement, just bring it in myriads of different ways. But really, it's the same thing again and again and again. Recently, I went, a friend of mine, Fiona Rugg, don't know if she's here. Oh, no, she's doing kids today. She is a sort of life coach person, and she... on health and fitness and stuff. And she kind of got invited anyone who wanted to join her on a group where you can basically be really accountable for your exercise and nutrition for 21 days. And it was absolutely excruciating. I found it so difficult that it's supposed to be 21 days fixed to recalibrate your thinking so it breaks comforts, false habits, and all that stuff in a really transparent way. It's really nice. By day six of this 21 days, if I hadn't been walking with other people, so every day you're on Facebook sort of saying, I'm really struggling, or, oh, I did really well today, or you've done really well, by day six, I definitely would have stopped. And at day six, I was like, help! You know, I can't do this anymore. And the other people in the group just come back at that point and just, now, I mean, they're people. They're not just like, it's not like a computer thing. They're just people come back at that point and go, you can do it. This is who you are. You can press through. You can do it. And actually, because of that, and because of the accountability, because I said I would, I did do it. And it was really successful. And it really worked. But the thing that came home to me was then, I only really did that because I was walking with other people. Because there's something about us doing life together well with other people that is God's design. And there's something about isolation and loneliness that is just not the fullness for us. And that's what I'd love us all to come into, is a place of connectedness with God and each other, and have those places of deep friendship where we can walk through stuff together. And as you may argue, that's quite a superficial example, although I actually think how we treat our bodies says a lot about whether we really love ourselves, and whether we really love ourselves says a lot about whether we can really love other people. So I don't think it's superficial, I think it's deep. But you can see it as superficial, but you can have many layers of accountability. And what we would love is for everyone to find those deep places of connectedness and support, that you can go through fire together and come out well the other side. And you see that all the way through Scripture, God always provides partnership. So with Joshua taking the promised land, he provided Caleb. With Moses, who was struggling with his speech, he provided his brother Aaron. And we see with David, there was this incredible friendship he had with a man called Jonathan. Now, what was extraordinary about this friendship was Jonathan happened to be the son of Saul, who was the king who intensely hated David and wanted to persecute him to his death. So Jonathan grew up the son of a king. He grew up with destiny on his life. He was going to be the king of Israel, God's chosen nation. And when his father was reaching his sort of 60s and 70s, this other man rose, his generation, a peer called David. He came out of nowhere. He was a shepherd, which is sort of the lowest form of society. And he was a golden boy. He rose very successfully through the ranks and even in some ways outshone his father, Jonathan's father, in war. And Jonathan, at that moment, in some ways he is himself, but he also represents humanity, if David represents Christ. He represents, if you like, two ways, two choices, two approaches to life. One is to hold on to his right to kingship, to rule. I'm destined to be king, you young upstart, I'll keep you down. Jealousy, threat, defensiveness, and so on. But he didn't do that. He did an extraordinary thing in that he gave it all up and said, there's something on you. I can see actually the kingship's going to pass to you, and I'm going to come into agreement with that and come in to make covenant with the house of David and break covenant with his own family line, which means basically he was putting to death his own future as king. And it just showed this extraordinary level of friendship. He says he loved David as he loved himself. Just incredible affection. And he fought for him. And very sadly, just before David became king in a war with his father Saul, they both actually died. And he was an incredible example of someone who would have provided incredible support and comfort and belief and vision for David in a season of his life where other people were not seeing it. In fact, the opposite, they were trying to take him out. And it's just that power of agreement, that power of friendship that is so incredible. And then we see David himself, if someone wants to read out Psalm 133, this stunning vision of how life is designed to be.
How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting.
There's something about unity and love and deep affection and friendship that just draws the favour of God and attracts him. And I know that as a parent, and any of you who either work with children or have your own children, just that it's polar opposites if your children are fighting versus when they just get on with each other. It's just the most wonderful moment on earth when all your children just enjoy being together. And that's how God sees us. We're very different. We're different ages and stages. We bring different gifts and experiences and cultures to the table. But when we just get on with each other and enjoy and celebrate each other, almost nothing makes me happier than a parent. Even their times with me, it's pretty much on a par when I just see them being really happy with each other. And sometimes I think we complicate things and we make theologies and we do all stuff, but I think it's very simple. He just wants us to love each other and get on with each other and celebrate each other. And you see this in the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus, David is like a type of Jesus, as I touched on then. And Jonathan is like a type of humanity, like a type of follower that says, I'm going to lay down my own destiny, my own power base, my own future. I'm going to come into agreement with this man, Jesus, because he's moving somewhere, he's doing something, and actually his throne is going to last forever. And we come into agreement there. And then we come to Jesus, and he teaches us. He says, this is how you can pray. And he says this famous prayer, which we now call the Lord's Prayer. And I'd love us all to just shout out what pronouns we hear in that prayer. So a pronoun is I, you, we, they, us, our, those kind of words. Can anyone shout out what pronouns are in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive as have against. Lead. Deliver. For yours is the kingdom. Is added on, actually, the power and the glory forever. He just builds a vision, doesn't he? With those words, he could have easily said, this is how you can pray. You can pray, my daddy, give me today my daily bread. Forgive me my sins as I forgive the people who've sinned against me. He could have done that. And in fact, that's aligned, isn't it? We have to have that intimacy and connectedness with him. And sometimes he does refer, it's his daddy and it's my daddy. But in building something that he knew would transcend generations and cultures, a very famous few phrases, I think it's interesting that he chose us, our, we, because he's building a new humanity. He's building a new creation. He's building children who enjoy playing together. That's the whole point of why he came and showed us what daddy was like and then lived and died and was raised from the dead, is to realign us, to restore us so that we could play with each other again, because before we ended up fighting all the time. And he just continues to affirm this vision. He sends people out in pairs. In fact, in the New Testament and really in the Old, you never ever really see anyone on their own unless they're in solitary confinement. They're actually there for a season, like Daniel in the lion's den, or Paul was put in prison the second time he was put in prison. But the first time he was still free to meet with believers. It's very, very rare you actually see someone totally, actually isolated. I think it's so rare that we have to assume there's a misalignment in our life. And we have to ask the Lord to come and heal us and restore friendships and bring reconnection if we feel in isolation. He puts the lonely in families. And for those of us who don't, a realignment to contend for those brothers and sisters who do feel that, to fight for them for reconnection. Because there is just the impetus of Scripture is in us, our, we. It's definitely a deep sense of self within that, a deep sense of my significance, what I bring to the table, but within that context, partnering and fighting together. And he says an extraordinary statement in Matthew 18. If someone could read out Matthew 18, 18 to 20.
I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them.
An incredible statement where two people, if just me and one other of us here in this room agree on anything, it's done for us. It's just such favor and such blessing on that place of humility and partnership and love. And I want to come just touch on John 17, one of Jesus's last prayers before he dies, quite a big prayer that impacts generations. And he says, he prays for protection for believers. And I don't know about you, but if you're thinking of praying for protection, you might think about praying protection on your health or your finances or maybe areas of temptation where you know you're weak. What's interesting about him, I'm sure he would agree with and bless those prayers, but the prayer he actually prays is that they may be one as he and the Father are one. Because that is the primary design. And that is the primary area of vulnerability and weakness and attack. If you look at the Trinity, you see this perfect relationship between God as Daddy, God as Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are full and complete within themselves. They don't need anything or anyone. And out of that fullness, they create and minister and love and serve. And we're designed in that image simply to enjoy and celebrate each other. And out of the fullness of who we are and how we love each other, work and love and ministry and helping others will naturally flow. So the biggest battle we ever have to fight is not to get the job done. It's to be in deep, affectionate, loving, genuine partnership. When that's in alignment, the ministry, the love, the power, the good works that take territory and change the world, which we all want to do, will naturally come. And we've had this revelation in marriages. So for those who've come more recently to Hope, this is a principle we work by, and in the elder team and in the membership team. So in every area where we make decisions, we move only on agreement. So I'll give you an example with the elder team. Again, as Silas said earlier, it just means people who've been delegated to lead. You have to find a word for it. But it's four couples. And so we all come. There's an issue maybe we're going to come to with elders. We come having wrestled through it until we come to agreement within our marriages of what our position is on that particular thing. It could be health and finances, it could be youth, it could be anything of looking over the church or vision. And so we come into agreement, and then we wrestle in the elder team with that thing until that we reach that place, that alignment, that peaceable, joyful place of agreement. And it could take months, it could take years, but actually when you've got there, you just move and nothing's impossible. You know you're moving and nothing's impossible. And we love that as well. That's why we really worked hard to have everyone's feedback with the membership through the transition of pastoral team, because we just love that agreement, that principle to be working at every level, because we so value Jesus's words. We want the nothing's impossible, don't we? So we'll contend for two people coming into agreement to facilitate that. And so it's so when we have this vision that we all love each other and celebrate each other and move forward. And when that happens, the power of God comes and nothing's impossible and the favor and things change. We start to be very clear-sighted and discerning and see very clearly that is a scheme of division. That's a scheme of division. That's a scheme of division. And it could be as widespread as someone just says that one phrase about someone else who isn't in the room, and it's just there's something about it that just brings division. And maybe I repeat that phrase, and then someone else, and before you know it, there are two different groups. Just one phrase can be escalated. So we have to be, one of the ways we confront that scheme is by being utterly discreet with our speech. And so this is an area of complete transformation in me. I had no idea of this, and I was horrendous. So my words are like a sword, and I would use them to destroy people. I had no concept that words built up and tore down. And then suddenly, I think we were on a journey and had this revelation that words have the power of life and death. And some amazing people who role modeled that they never said anything about anyone behind their back unless it was a really positive celebratory word about them. And if there was anything to confront, they went to the person. And in fact, Jesus goes further. If they still don't change this person, you take someone else and you go back to the person. You always go to the person if there's a difficulty. So the first thing I really want us to work on to get the yeast back in this dough is words. Is to absolutely, our words always build up. We love others. We speak about others as we would want them to speak about us. And that just crushes that scheme of division. We have to see it from a two realms perspective. This isn't about people being difficult. This is about us being empowered to do what we're designed to do and being aware of how the enemy would like to take us out. Be particularly aware if someone is weak and struggling and difficult, there's just an opportunity to throw extra mercy and grace, isn't it? It's just an opportunity to love more and go the extra mile and cover over. Love always covers, never exposes. And so we cover with our words. And actually, I feel slightly MI5 when I do that, slightly undercover. When someone is obvious, they're just waiting to have words spoken about them which are negative by the way they're being. And then to just speak celebration and honor, it's just phenomenal. You just take so much territory doing that. And it's really fun to be creative and engaged with Daddy's heart for that person that is more true than anything else. Thank you. And then the other thing is, so just going to speak into two things, words, and then this idea of community and how you build smaller communities in a bigger community. And it's a great example as a friend of mine, someone I knew who was talking about two different secondary schools, and I just thought, that's it. She talked about her experience, which was, it was just very positive. Everyone in the school year knew each other. Everyone acknowledged that some people had closer friends. And some people, you know, you have your closer friends. That's the way life is. But you also know and love and are for and together with the whole peer group. And then she talked about a friend of hers in another school where they had, because of insecurities and jealousies and so on, they had these. They weren't friendship groups. They were it was cliquey. And it was actually, Paul talks about factions as one of the fruits of the old nature. It's when we get defensive and insecure and threatened, we tend to form people around ourselves. And that is just not kingdom. It's just not kingdom. We don't need to live like that. We really don't need to live like that. And the reason we don't need to live by that is because it's because of Jesus. It's because we're fundamentally reconnected with him. So that kind of need to get our needs met in other people is broken, and we come to the table full and able to give and be drawn and connect with the friends that God has for us. And so what we would love to walk in the opposite spirit of those things is just to stir up again words of life, words that defend people, words that empower people, words that give people courage, alongside a real clarity. If there are things that we struggle with someone and it is difficult and it is violating our relationship and our relationship is such that it's appropriate to confront them in gentleness and respect, remembering how we are most empowered. I'm most empowered to take rebuke when I know I'm loved. I really know I'm loved. And then I'm like, do you know what? I know you love me. You're for me. So we want to create a culture of that. And then the other one, just create a culture where we celebrate other people's friendship groups. just celebrate the fact they've got friends. That's what I do. When I see people have friends, I'm like, great, they've got friends. In a lonely, isolated world, there are people who have friends. We always celebrate the thing, and that breaks envy, insecurity, and everything else. So we want to build that oneness. We build that David and Jonathan, that Joshua and Caleb, that Moses and Aaron, that me and Chris that are so different in the way we approach things. But when we come into agreement, there's such power in it. And then in the elder team as well, different backgrounds, ages, experiences. But when you come into agreement, you have that yes, you're like, the Holy Spirit's on this. Nothing is impossible for us. And it begins with reconnectedness. And that's why I wanted to speak first, and we could worship in response. Because our fullness comes from him. We just love him. We love Jesus. You think of how Jonathan loved David, that type of humanity loving Christ. We love Jesus. We find our affection in him, our fullness in him, our completeness in him. And when we're in that place, we're getting whole and healed, and we can be really functional in our friendships to celebrate our friends, to love them, to honor them, to receive from them, to give to them, and also celebrate the friendships God is sprouting out all over the community, knowing that the ultimate vision is whoever of our brothers and sisters we bump into, we love and honor and celebrate. Yeah.
Thank you, Alice. Wonderful word. So we're going to worship now. So Tim and Becca, thank you very much. My suggestion is, why don't we bring ourselves, we worship, but maybe at some stage during the time of worship, if you're aware that actually you find partnership, you find unity difficult, and maybe through your own circumstances you were almost trained to be on your own, and many people have been, they were brought up on their own, or maybe you even said, it's the last time I'm ever going to trust anyone, so you've actually spoken independence over yourself. Bring that to the Lord, because we're meant to be working together. Let's stand, let's worship. But just maybe that together, but I don't know how to do it. Bring that to him. Okay. Father, this morning we've heard your message of unity. We've heard your message of teamwork. And like when your scriptures so often saying, go out in twos and declare things in twos, and agreement is with twos. So, Lord, we just want to renounce independence. And Lord, you know us, and you know the lives we've led, and you know that some of us have almost been trained in independence. In fact, we might have even gone to a thing called independent school, or we might have just been turfed out and had to walk the streets on our own. We might have been abandoned by parents. And we just wanted today to declare that independence is a lie. And we break that lie. We break the lie of independence off our lives. And instead of independence, we declare teamwork today. We declare twos and threes rather than one. And Father, we want to bring any pain that we might have because of things that happened to us, where we didn't choose necessarily to live independently, but it happened, whether it was through being thrown out of home, whether it was from having to just survive on our own, whether it was being sent away, separated from our parents. And we want to bring that pain to you and just give it to you and say, no more on our own. And Father, thank you that you are our Father and we don't have to be independent anymore. And you put the lonely in families. So we welcome families, we welcome teamwork. And we declare families and teamwork and twos and threes today. Thank you, Lord, that when you look on this church, you see powerhouses of unity. You see powerhouses, twos and threes, threes, fours, four, five, coming together and building. And so in Jesus' name, we just bless those. We bless those. And I bless you guys as you go from here to into your places of work, to be people who develop unity, who fight for your colleagues, and people who declare unity over wherever you see it, you declare it. And you're commissioned by the Father Almighty to do that. Okay, it's 12:05, so if you have children, you need to get them. But can I just encourage you that if you are sitting next to someone and you have got some time, that you would like to pray together and to declare together. Find out what they're doing this week, where it is that they feel the Lord has asked, has pressed on them for unity, and then declare it together. Okay.